All set? John Spaeth.
I'm going to ask information about John, not the same. The annual giving organization would still be sending out its literature, I take it.
Its house organ, you know, Founder's Bell?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that would, in a way, take care of the annual giving direct approach.
Yeah.
I think it seems to me that an important consideration here is the news. That is, if you are going to continue to send the news, the average news to the alumni, then this would shape our thinking, I think must shape our thinking, about this new organ. In other words, if the news is going to continue to cover alumni matters, then I don't see that in our initial stages, in keeping with the friendly, humble traditions of Haverford, we would do well to branch out at once into the bigger type of alumni, or the alumni organ, or college organ, rather than the Haverford Trends format. That there's a combination of the news and the Haverford Trends format seem to me at this stage to be suitable.
Right, but you would not object to extending the Haverford Trends so it dealt with more than one item at a time, John.
Myself.
Well, then,
make it regular 4 or 5 times.
You're calling it a Trends rather than a simple magazine. Principally because you think of the Trends as a unassuming and a low-level publication. Arthur Ashbrook?
I was impressed by Robert Greer's going down over the list of things that would be accomplished as set forth on the sheet here, and it seems to me that the Haverford News and the Trends, kept at a modest level, would accomplish this purpose. Also seems to me that the point that where there is anything new or startling about the college, which should be made known to the alumni and the friends of the college, the Trends would seem to be an adequate form for giving expression to that. In other words, the proof would be on those who were putting forth the Trends. If there was something that should be put forth, I think I'm repeating Willard Mead here, that if you get a larger and more regular publication, the tendency is to have to fill up space at the last moment. So my own feeling is in terms of the news, where I think the alumni can read between the lines and realize the student editors make mistakes, and the Trends on somewhat of a one-shot basis where there's something needed to be communicated, where it's communicated in a 4 or 6 page format.
But you don't object to having more than 2 things or 3 things?
Well,
you don't want to limit it to one necessarily, do you?
I would say if the format were 4 or 6 pages, this could cover 1 or 2 subjects depending on their importance, but I would hope for a modest and inexpensive publication.
Frank Booker, I'd like to question this apparent assumption that we get out just a supplement to the Haverford News. I wonder if the alumni really wouldn't be better informed by a quarterly of the type, say, that's gotten out by Bryn Mawr without the Haverford. Has spoken. In other words, I'm taking just about diametrically opposite position from that of the previous speaker.
I would hate not to get the Haverford News myself, even when it is banned. I'd like to know it.
I think that, I tried in a way to anticipate your point, Frank, by citing the extremely low cost of the news on a per alumnus or per issue or per alumnus basis, and
does that include the subsidy from the alumni association to the news, or just the mailing costs?
No, this is the whole cost. We pay $2,600, and it goes to 3,800 alumni about 25 times a year, I guess, and that is the whole cost of the thing, and. People who have experience in advertising would know more about it than I do, but my strong impression is that the number of contacts between the market, the person in the marketplace, if that's what you consider the alumni roughly, and the institution or thing that's trying to get its message across is of vital importance. I mean, just the fact that 25 times a year the Haverford News appears on your desk, I think, has considerable value, even if you never even look at the paper. You are reminded that many times that the college is thinking of you.
Well, I think just speaking personally, that I've been more impressed with seeing my wife's copy of the Bryn Mawr alumni bulletin, which comes out about four times a year, and maybe learn more about what's going on with Bryn Mawr than I have from the news of what's going on here at Haverford.
Yeah. Well, in other words, you feel that there is a need. Now, whether you don't particularly care that it's a supplement, you feel that there's a need for some other means of communication.
Well, yes, if we're trying to really present what's going on intellectually here at the college, I got a little more interested in these questions of the matters that the president would like to discuss, or the stature of the faculty in various areas, and you mentioned what's going on in these various areas, and some of the information about dances and athletic events and things, which are given so much more publicity in the news.
Yeah.
Frank, may I ask a question in that connection? I want to put in a little plug for the news, and Lord knows I've gotten mad enough at them too. I doubt whether you could possibly bring the information to the alumni in a quarterly, in the course of a year, that you would get out of these 25 issues. Now, I'm not assuming for a minute that the alumni read all of the stuff on the front page, but a typical front page of the news does carry an awful lot of news about the college. It tells who the Phillips visitors are. It tells what the faculty are doing, and all sorts of things that would not appear except once in a while in an alumni magazine. So it seems to me this is an important thing to go, regardless of what else you send out, that this every week brings you up to date on what's going on,
is
maybe 10 days late.
News about the Phillips lectures and other things of that sort. I don't think there's ever any systematic coverage of what's going on in the different departments.
That's true.
Occasionally you get to interviews with individuals, which are interesting, but there's no coverage, which I think is nearly as good as it is in the Mar alumni. Now, one other question that occurs to me after looking at several of these bulletins, I noticed that these have subscription prices of $150 to $350 a year. I know that the Harvard alumni bulletin is just on the basis of subscription. Now, are we thinking here in terms of something which will go to every alumnus regardless of subscription or something?
That's my thought, Frank. I mean, the news goes regardless of whether they give or not, and it seems to me that if we wait for subscriptions, why, a great many people will not get the thing that we want to have it, and that
the
conscientious ones will give enough to cover their share of the cost, and that the promotional value for the remainder will be a proper charge against the general college finances.
Well, now, I wonder how these other institutions actually handle that. See, here is the Bowdoin one, which is a large one, a nominal subscription of $1.50 a year. This Oberlin, which is more in our class, for $3.50 a year. Now, do you suppose this only goes to people that pay up, or is it just to encourage those who will pay this amount and that the others get it anyway?
I don't know. It would be an interesting thing to look into. You might quote a price and send it anyway, so that anybody to whom you wouldn't normally send it would be free to subscribe to it. But
Walter, I think that's what happens in many alumni papers, the quarterlies and so on. For instance, in Western, I'm sure that's true. It's sent free to all alumni. Taking the Harvard, the Princeton, and those bigger ones, you have to recall that they put out a much more elaborate and dignified publication with a paid editorial board.
students.
This is Frank Gutter.
If you had something like, say, this Oberlin bulletin, or this Wartmouth bulletin,